no fly list.
As far as the no fly list,
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, musicians, and other interesting and cool people of color. I am Sabine.
And I'm Athier.
And today we had my dear, dear friend, Skylar Higley.
Oh my God, Skylar is so fun.
He is so funny.
I really love talking to him. Hearing about his story is so fascinating.
It's wild. Truly, when I said he needs to have like a one-man show about how he grew up Mormon, like I need to see that. We need that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Like you're. Yeah. I was like, I didn't tell Athier about this part.
Because I was like, it's hard enough. I imagine growing up with like white parents when you're a person of color, especially a black man in America, but in Utah, and then having, I mean, the food alone, that situation, oh, God, that made me feel for him.
That really got Athier.
going up on a, yeah, you know, it really grinds
like,
my
did you, she was like, what did you eat, Skylar? I was like, wow,
how did you
she's
survive without spices?
Exactly. And he was like, you know what? It was hard. yeah, it was so great. We kind of came up together in Chicago, so it's always like so fun to hang out with him. He's like such a pal. But he's just been doing such amazing things in his career. And like, I'm just so proud of him. Yeah. Like he wrote for Conan. Like he just like.
Now he's writing always, for The Onion.
And he's always just doing something. What I love about him is how he just keeps making stuff. He's like, yeah. I don't care about like, you know, like he's not waiting for anyone to come give him opportunities. He's like, I'm going to make this like album. I'm going to make Saltwater. I'm going to make sketches. And like, he's just so talented. And I just think that he's. Like, just, he's going to blow up real quick.
He's such a fun person to be around, too, yes. And easy to talk to. Like, as soon as he walked in, it was just, like, fun and good vibes. So,
you can
definitely hear that on this episode. And he's done all this, and, like, he's only 26.
He's only 26, a little baby.
I feel like a failure.
We both do.
Yeah. This is not about us.
Thanks, Skylar, for that.
Yeah, thanks. Skylar for being popular.
Thanks for being so great and awesome.
But he really is fun. And you guys are going to love this. But before we get to him, Sabine,
before we get to his episode, we are going to jump into our first segment, the No Fly List, where we mention people who we think shouldn't be able to fly instead of innocent brown folks like ourselves. And today, our No Fly List is people who get famous and mistreat other people, especially people in the service industry.
Oh, I hate that. People who like let it get to their heads. And it's always also people that are not even, sometimes people not even like that famous.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. I would feel secondhand embarrassment seeing that. They'd be like, do you know who I am?
No.
It's like, no, I don't.
I've seen that happen.
You have to pay your bill.
Have you heard any like celebrity stories or like?
You know what? I kind of did. But you told me about this one. It was that one writer who created her own business. No, you didn't tell me. Someone else did. Okay. Well, I'm not going to give... Should I just say the name of the celebrity? I don't know.
It depends how big they are.
It's the one who created Nasty Gal, that business.
Oh, I don't know.
Sophia Amoruso?
I know Nasty Gal. I don't know her name.
Okay. So that's who it is. So a friend of mine said she saw her at like a coffee shop and she was... And my friend was just like... Maybe she was like crying or emotional or something. And then like Sophia was like, oh, here. You know what will make you feel better? Why don't you just take a picture with me? Assumed.
I'd be like, who are you?
Exactly. And my friend knew she was, but
that's
she was
hilarious.
Still just like, that's so weird.
That is the weirdest.
Isn't that weird? I would never say that. I would never, if I was so
that's
famous
so embarrassing.
And someone had a bad day, I wouldn't be like, do you want a picture? Do you need an autograph, honey? Like, it's like the weirdest.
That is that's the weirdest one. Like, I've heard stories about comedians like famous comedians mistreating people at like the club and the wait staff. And that's so fucked up. Like, first of all, you should never treat anyone horribly, but especially if you're a celebrity and like you should use that to make people feel good, not make it about yourself. But unfortunately,
you know
that is the case a lot of times.
Exactly. And now that you mentioned comedians, I'm not going to name this like more famous comedian, but like.
Is it me?
It was you.
I'm
and
super
you
famous.
Mistreated me. And we're going to get into this now.
But yeah, sorry.
Well, it was this comic who I came to support at this theater because my friend was opening for her and I was standing in the green, in I guess not in the green room, but in her room, which was the door was open and my friend who was opening for her was like standing there talking, and I was just kind of there too. And she just lectured me, and she was just like, just want to let you know, it's actually not okay for you to be in here. This is my room. And, you know, I think that like if a headliner is here, then you have to understand that like you have to give them their space. But, you know, like I'm okay with it, so it's fine right now, but I'm just letting you know for the future.
Oh, God. I've seen that go like, down with people before, actually.
What?
Also, I've seen in certain situations where a person has insert, not you, but like I've seen people like insert themselves in a green room where they don't even know the person necessarily,
yeah.
Or like they're like,
well,
not
I thought even, about it and I was like,
but
you're
a comic and you're like,
I was a comic. Like that was my good friend. The door was open and we were all just kind of standing by the door. So it's not like I was,
yeah,
like
you were not in the room. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just very weird because I was like, I wasn't really here to talk to you. I was just kind of like checking in on my friend and I'm here. I don't know. It was just a very weird situation.
Like use those, like wield power over people and try to like.
And they get feisty about it. And I'm like, yeah. You don't need to get feisty.
Yeah. I also don't like the passive aggressiveness of that. Like, you know.
Yeah. Like it's okay with me, but like don't do it next time. And I'm like, no. What you're saying is it's really not okay with you.
Exactly. If that were the case, just like don't say anything. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just
I would just close. I'd be like, oh, excuse me, guys. I'm just going to go over my set or whatever.
Yeah,
and
can
close
I get
the
like
door.
A minute?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like that's so easy to do instead of like being psychotic.
Because usually green rooms like pretty open for comedian. Like,
well, this was like her room, but it wasn't like, it was a theater, so it wasn't really a room. It was just, it was a green room, I guess. Yeah. There were like two of them, and so it was just like a weird space.
Yeah. I can't wait till I get famous and treat people like shit. No, I'm kidding.
I cannot wait.
I'm going to do it now. I'm just going to start with the treating.
You should practice now.
Yeah, I should practice now. That way when I get famous.
Let's practice on each other. Let's be complete assholes to each other,
exactly.
Like when we're doing the same shows.
Oh my God. People. Yeah, I hate that. People that just like let fame or
it
not
really
get
bugs
to their
me,
head.
Dude, because to, like, honestly, I'm like, fame, it's nothing if you really think about it. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
doesn't,
you're a person. At the end of the day, you are really just
a person.
We should
judge people on their soul and who they are and the goodness of who they are and not
exactly
how many Instagram followers that they have, which unfortunately is something that people do a lot.
Oh, boy.
But follow us on Instagram so we have more.
Yeah, we'd like to get famous
we'd like
pretty
to get famous,
soon.
But we'll be nice. We will be nice.
We'll be nice famous.
But Skylar is really nice, and you guys are going to love him. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Welcome, Skylar.
Hello.
Hi, Skylar. It's good
Hello.
To see you again.
Good to see you again.
Because we saw each other a couple nights ago on a show that we were both on at the Asylum.
I feel left out.
You should have come.
I wasn't here.
It was really good.
I wasn't invited.
You were invited, actually.
I know. I was. I don't know. I was jet lagged.
Yes.
How are you? So you're in town from Chicago?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Skylar is my brilliant friend from Chicago, and he wrote for Conan. He writes for The Onion right now, and he makes a lot of really cool things. And, I've been in, how many sketches of yours have I done? Two. I've been in two really fun sketches with him. So, yeah, he's amazing. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's very nice to be in this street market, and, you know, and be near that ATM dedicated to that guy. Why do they have an ATM that says RIP Justin on it?
It does?
It does. There's a little,
Justin who?
I don't know. It's like Justin, it's literally right there. I'm
wow, it's
out.
Like he died
I never
getting
noticed
money
that.
Out.
I know.
Oh, and then it's like when they put flowers on a bike, but it's like an ATM.
He died riding the ATM.
Oh, poor Justin. That's so sad. I'm going to put a candle out there soon.
Yeah, I'm going to pour one out for her, Justin.
Justin Memorial ATM.
So are you living in Chicago now or are you just visiting?
Yeah, very I'm just cool. visiting for the week. It's been fun. I like New York. It's the weather has been tricky, but I don't know like day by day exactly how to dress.
Yeah, it's like you just have to have layers and a jacket and that's how you do it. But I feel like you've been here like so much. It's like every few weeks I see you in New York.
It's so funny because I haven't been here for a year.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
But it feels like, okay, really? No, not a whole year.
I mean, August of 20, or
what about
no,
when we hung out when you came and we went to get lunch?
October of 2021. So that's basically
you know,
almost a year.
The pandemic throws everything off. Yeah.
I don't know how time works
it's like,
anymore.
It's like, did I see you yesterday?
Yeah.
Literally, actually, that's how it feels.
Well, welcome. So you're just doing some shows in New York while you're here. Very nice.
Yeah.
Any thoughts of moving, like your fellow Chicagoans?
I would love to, but The Onion is based out of Chicago, and we work in office, and they don't like us to work remotely post-pandemic.
Why?
Because that's how, you know, businesses are. I probably can't say too much about Geo Media.
Just tell us everything.
I don't think I can.
Definitely just.
Because I have to keep my job.
Well, we all know that they listen to this.
They told me you could just...
Yeah. We're, you know, owned by a company that's, you know, a company and corporate people.
Yeah.
And they make corporate decisions. And we do our little art sort of stuff. And we're like, we're writers. Why can't you be like us? And, you know... People are
and then
different.
They're like, we are like you. Uh-huh. We're also
corporations. They're just like us.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the situation I'm in.
Okay, that's fair. How many days in the week do you have to go in every day?
4 out of 5 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a normal job.
At least it's a fun, hopefully fun place to work.
I mean, here's the thing. It is a fun place to work with like... My coworkers are great, and it's always fun to, like, write jokes, of course. The reason why my voice went up, like, 6 octaves is, like, well, it is often about the news and media, and I don't know if you've watched the news recently, but it can also be very grating.
Yeah.
To be, like, reading everything all the time, which everybody is, but... Yeah. I feel like I'm doing it a lot just because...
You got to scour for material.
Yeah, I have to stay so informed, so there'll be so much that's just like...
It's overwhelming.
It's a lot.
Yeah. We were talking about that because, like, Sibby and I will get packets sometimes, and we're like, do we want to write for this late-night political talk? Like, do
we really...
Well,
I just know myself, like, and I'm just not cut out for it. Like, I just want to talk about my family. That's all I want to do. And just in my stand-up. So I... Honestly, I'm impressed with people that do topical and like what you do, because that is taxing and it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It can be very overwhelming to do. And I am so impressed by the people who, everybody feels it, but like the people who really can do it very well and at a high level and for a long time and don't seem to like every couple weeks have a meltdown like I do. Where I'm like, how can I can't do another thing about all these school shootings.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, come back into work the next week. Like, that's very impressive.
Yeah. Do you feel like working at The Onion and, like, writing that, like type of jokes, does that, like, bleed into your stand-up a lot?
I think that the more, sort of satirical, critical angle... probably bled into my stand-up a little bit. I think that, honestly, what got into my stand-up more even than I already was before was just, like, being really critical of jokes and their structure and how, like, the things that I'm saying as far as not wanting to make a joke that anybody's made before because there are so many jokes out there and half of the job is literally like, oh, has a joke like this been made before? Should we, you know, just check? And we look at Twitter and we go, oh, yeah, this has kind of been done before, so let's kill it.
Oh, my God, does that happen all the time?
Yeah, it happens almost every day.
That's so annoying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're telling me. There's, like, been so many. There'll be, like, one thing from 2014. And you'll be like, yeah, well, now we can't do it. And I've been low-key advocating a little bit for, like, in the situation where we feel like it's a good joke and then we look it up and it's just somebody's reply tweet from a couple years ago and it doesn't have any likes, I've been being like, zero likes. Did it happen? Zero likes.
Nope.
Zero likes.
Did not
We're
happen.
We're going to kill a headline. And even from a, you know, capitalistic standpoint, our site traffic... For a zero-like reply, I don't know.
I think it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Speaking of traffic, I got to refill my meter.
Oh, it's on my phone.
Can we borrow the phone?
Oh, crap.
Oh, shit.
Good. This is really professional.
This is off the rails.
I just remembered. I was like, we don't want to get a ticket
or a
tow.
Thanks, Skylar. I love you. Thank you for doing everything.
Oh, thank you so much.
A fear.
Skylar's. I was like, there was something I needed to do before we started this.
This is so funny.
This is inside.
This is got seven extend parking
for
to,
like an what? Hour.
Really?
Not even 45 minutes?
Let's
I don't think it lets, does it let you?
45. Continue.
Yo, you better keep this in.
This is gold.
Do we
How
keep
much
this
time
in?
Is left?
52 minutes now.
Okay.
So 3:16 it ends. Dude, they're not going to give you a ticket, but okay.
I don't know. I have a lot Skylar. Of anxiety about...
I honestly, your anxiety will go away soon.
Thanks.
The cops are worried about other things here.
I don't know. I saw this lady this morning. I was like trying to move the car, like just looking for like a traffic
really?
Lady. She was on the phone,
really?
Chilling, and was...
See, my neighborhood, you know, knock on wood, because I've been parking in front of... fire hydrants. And
wow.
Oh, yeah. People since the pandemic have gotten really, like, egregious about the parking.
Like, the thing
everyone's
is,
doing it.
I get home after shows really late, and a lot of times I drive now because I just want to get to my spots fast. And so, there's no parking, and I just park in front of a hydrant, and nothing happens. And the next day, I move it at 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
no one says anything.
Yeah, continue to roll the dice, I guess. Russian roulette.
And, just like to take risks.
Sabine's like, I park in handicapped parking spaces.
All day,
Nothing
baby.
Nothing typically happens.
I'm kind of wild like that.
Parking on somebody's lawn at some point. Like, whatever.
I might. I'm reckless.
Yeah, I'm like, we'll risk it with your car.
Yeah, that's fine with me. It's paid off. It's okay. So let's get back to this. Skylar,
so do you use Peter?
Skylar doesn't drive.
You don't drive?
I don't know.
How do you get around? How do you get around? Oh, okay.
Skylar's not capable of driving.
I do know how to drive.
Do you? Because a lot of people in New York don't have license.
No, I have a license. I have to renew it.
Okay.
Because I just turned 26 and it's
Happy birthday. When was your birthday?
Happy birthday.
May 22nd. So a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you're a Taurus.
Nope.
You're a Aquarius.
Wait, I know, I know.
You're a Capricorn.
I know this one.
Nope.
Cancer?
No, cancer's after me.
I'm an African American.
Ah, damn it. Why did I guess that?
Close.
Okay. I'm a Gemini.
No, you're not a Gemini.
She's a Gemini.
Skylar.
First of all, how are you going to tell me? I think I know. This is the only time anybody's ever said that. No, you're not.
I always forget May people can be Geminis.
Yeah, I am. I'm a day one Gemini. So maybe watch who you're talking to.
It's like, fine, you're emotional and crazy.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's so many Geminis in my life.
I know.
I'm just saying, like.
It's toxic for
dare
you.
Dare I say too many? No, I'm just kidding. No, all my favorite.
But you're in therapy, so that's good.
All my favorite people.
You're like, how do I deal with these Gemini psychos?
Help! I'm a Capricorn.
Oh, nice.
You can't tell
my
anxiety.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I only look up the astrology of someone I'm dating.
I'm
and then I do the compatibility. Do you do that?
Yeah. I've done it before, yeah.
Yeah.
I like to say I'm astrologically fluid. You know, I identify as a Capricorn, but I...
well, then you also
I can have some Taurus vibes.
You got your, like, moon and your rising and your Saturn.
They're all Capricorn.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I'm Capricorn through and through.
Wow.
Oh, my God. What about you, Skylar?
I don't know.
We just lost
all
our...
I don't know mine either. I think I'm a little Taurus somewhere. I'm 3% Taurus.
Are
my
you
23
like, wake up,
me.
You're like, I'm a little Taurus-y today. I'm a little Sagittarius-y. It just depends.
Okay.
Guys, this is serious.
Guys,
this is a
guys, yeah. get back
and, to
can
this.
Can
we focus?
To balance it out for the male listeners, you know, the Golden State Warriors did just win the NBA championship.
There we go. You're welcome.
There you go, guys. If you wanted to tune out just because we were talking about astrology,
you should.
Shout out to Steph Curry. Now the men are back.
You did say,
They're
though,
Thank
that you,
you
look up that, like the person that you're dating. So you don't believe in it until it's like a... there's a
No. Version. I don't look it up. It gets like foisted upon me.
It does.
Like,
people I'm love like, to tell you. So what are their
right,
sign? And
right.
like, you know what? They're really good with the Geminis. They're really good with whatever.
Mm. Right.
So you're saying the person you're seeing is usually the one that's like, hey, what's your sign? We're compatible.
I usually don't see those type of people. it's usually just both of our friends will go,
this is,
you know.
Got you.
You're a Gemini. They're an Aquarius.
Yeah.
Hello.
This is what? True love.
We're like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. I get. Look, if it's compatible, then great. It's like also, if it's not, then what are you going to do?
You break
I'm not
up.
About to change
you
my decision.
It. You end it, Skylar.
Or you change your birthday legally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it works.
I feel like my birthday like might not even be right.
Wait, really?
I mean, I
Where were you born?
I was born in Philadelphia.
Oh, he has a very fun story. But He's I from was... a Mormon family.
Yeah.
Really?
Skylar, tell us.
Skylar, what is it like?
But I didn't get like a Mormon birth certificate. They didn't like write it on a parchment.
So then why was your birth date might be different?
I don't know. Well, I was born in Philadelphia. I was adopted. So I guess there would be no reason why my birth date would be wrong. But there's also just something in the back of my mind that, like, for example, I don't know what time I was born. And mm-hmm. I think I could probably ask somebody what hospital or whatever. But
go
like,
find the nurse from 26 years ago and be like, do you remember me?
Yeah. But I am like, anytime like someone's like, well, what's your rising? What time are you born? I'm like, I don't know. And I don't think I
you know
have
funny?
Access to that information.
I don't know when I was. Yeah, I don't know the time either. My mom says early in the morning. Oh, so I guess I do know. But yeah.
Mine's 3:06 p.m. on a Tuesday.
But that's wow. what I mean. How do you get the specific?
It's is on it, your birth certificate.
It is? I think I just have to read my
Also, are they counting from like when you crown or when you come out completely? Because that could be like
that when could be
you
really crown. Long time.
Or when your head is coming right. through.
Oh, I just, yeah.
They didn't count mine until I got my driver's license. That was the time.
So wait, is your adopted family, are they white? Because mm-hmm. I've never met black Mormons.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's the bulk of my stand-up.
I love it.
I love all of his Mormon
I mean, yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Funny.
Yeah, there's not a lot. Because Mormons had a not great history of black people already. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it was hard for black people to accept, you know, or be accepted into Mormonism. And it's also just, like, as a religion, when you're in it, even culturally, it's not the blackest thing to do. So even if, like, that was kind of part of the thing is even if you
like
wanted
to. Like the long underwear.
It's like, why would you want to? You can't drink
yeah.
or
yeah.
have any
I mean, it's like
fun.
Muslim. Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
To
Except
Muslim.
We can have coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mormons can't have
live
coffee.
Off like tea and coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't. They Wait, couldn't have tea.
Do you still practice or did you ever practice?
No. Oh, I definitely practice. I fucking perfected it. But
really?
I don't.
So really? So, I didn't know this.
You didn't?
I didn't know you were like a good Mormon.
Oh, I was great at it. That was kind of the thing. And it became a problem when I started turning like 16, 17 because I was so good at it, but then I stopped believing it. So then I like learned to lie really well and I could fake these like sort of like testimonies where like you just use all the words, but you're like,
yeah.
I don't know what
and
that
you were,
was.
And you were in Utah, right?
Or yeah.
Okay, so that's where, when did you move?
I moved to Chicago when I turned 20. Yeah, in 2016.
Got it.
That tracks. Yeah, 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you leave Mormonism, did your family kind of like shut you out or like
no,
how did that work?
No, I mean, I think some parts of my family would have been disappointed, but I didn't ever. Oh shoot, I still have to turn in my resignation from Mormonism.
Do you like the church? Like
you,
do you
have a paper?
Yeah.
Don't you have to get your name removed from the church or something? Because like, I know a friend of mine that did that. That became
yeah.
Like,
so what you have to do, I looked it up, is you have to send a letter to like the bishop of the ward that you would be in and I think the stake president and to the general like Mormon people.
Uh-huh.
So you got to send 3 different copies of a letter and then make sure they remove your name and they often like don't do it, so it's a long process.
Oh my god.
So technically I'm still Mormon.
Wow. Mm. Until you submit the paperwork.
Yeah. And okay. I never had some big like I'm leaving. I turned 18 and went to college and I just didn't go to church and I didn't believe it already, so I just stopped going to church. And then when everybody was like, are you gonna go on your mission? I was like, no.
You're like, this is my mission now.
Yeah.
Keg stands.
Yeah. Man, I wish I didn't go to like a.
Did you go to BYU?
No, I went to Utah State, which is fine, but it wasn't like a huge party college.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wasn't a partier anyway. I tried to go to a frat party once, and it was like fresh first week, fresh off of just being Mormon pretty much, or not believing it, but like never doing anything.
Right.
And I went in and it's like hazy because everybody's smoking and drinking. And this guy comes up to me and is like, hey, man, do you want cocaine? And I was like, no. And he's like, no, man, you got to try cocaine. I'm like, I no, thank you. And me, like, you know, 18 and like scared, like, I was like, no, no, thank you. And he walks away.
He's like, what are you, Mormon or something?
Right.
you're like, not really.
Fine, give it to me.
Right. And he walks away and then he comes back. Obviously, I didn't realize at the time, but obviously he had just done coke after he walked away. And he comes back just like fucking wild-eyed and so aggressive. And he's like, dude, I'm tired of freaking freshmen coming in here, not doing any cocaine, not bringing any bitches. Makes me liable to stab somebody.
You,
I'm like,
you needed to bring bitches.
No. And I was like, coke, I don't know bitches. Any.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, God. I tried.
And then I left. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to party.
That's intense.
If that hadn't happened, I might have gotten into partying in college.
Right.
But that right away, I was like, I don't think anybody should be in a fraternity house.
No.
And I just left.
No.
That is some toxic energy.
It was a lot. Terrible. That guy was definitely a Gemini.
Yeah. Oh, the evil twin. Not us. Yeah. We're sweet angels.
Oh, yeah. There's two types.
Yeah.
So your family is back in Utah still and all?
Yes.
Doing the Mormon thing. I just watched Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey, and I just...
What is that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I started watching
it, too.
There's
so like many Mormon document series, by the way.
There's too many. I haven't seen any.
There's so many.
Of them.
Yeah. I've seen, like, all of them. But, yeah, it's about this polygamous cult out in Texas and other... somewhere near Texas. But in any case, it was very interesting. This like guy named Warren Jeff that like started.
Oh, Warren Jeff. Yeah.
Oh,
guy.
Uncle Jeff. Right. Uncle Jeff.
Warren. Yeah.
Uncle Warren.
Oh, Warren Jeff. You don't gets a bad rap. Cool guy. Cool guy. Yeah, nice guy.
He's
great
an
guy.
Angel.
Married 14-year-olds when he was, you know, 86. But you know,
other
cool
than
guy.
That though,
he's real chill.
Really cool. Lets you borrow his stuff. Doesn't really ask for it back. Really cool guy.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, that was a. I remember, I think I was alive at the time. I remember it being a big deal while that stuff was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then also people were complaining that, like, that dude, he's like, he's giving Mormons a bad rep, basically. It's like, because it's like a different, you know, like a cult offshoot.
Yeah, it's like a different sect of Mormonism.
Yeah, exactly. Of. And so then people would get upset because... in society, like, at large, it just gets conflated with just regular Mormonism, which it's mostly not as like that. And people just kind of don't know. It's just like, oh, that's all Mormonism. And it's like, no, it's just like any cult where it's just, you know...
It's like the fundamentalist summit.
Yeah, been able to, yeah.
Did you watch Book of Mormon?
No, I remember when it came out, though, everybody freaked out. Everybody... Like, was
they're
really
know all
mad.
Our secrets. No, yeah. Or,
oh, they were so mad.
Yeah,
it didn't really paint sense. Them in the best light.
Yeah,
I never watched
cursing.
It, so I'm not sure. Oh, there's cursing.
There's
that's
a lot
what.
Of
oh, there. Yeah,
a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't. Yeah, if there was like a Book of Islam,
did
like
you?
That,
yeah,
that would be terrible.
Yeah, be pretty
did,
bad.
The Muslims would be pissed.
Yeah. Did you grow up with any Muslims around? Because I know Utah has a lot of Muslims.
Yeah,
it does?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're like they get it.
Yeah, it's relatively
no drinking,
diversity.
No sex, multiple it. Wives. Yeah, it's
like, yeah. Same
cool,
stuff.
Cool. Same stuff.
That's true. Well, my uncle, my dad has a friend who lives in Utah, and he owns a restaurant. I don't know if you've been there, but it's called Curry in a Hurry.
That's like, I know at least
Wait,
five
Tyler,
Curry in a Hurries. By the way, there's one in Alabama.
You have to go.
One,
so the thing is, when you go inside, I was not doing a road trip with my friend Margaret, and we stopped over there, and we. So the front desk has
were
pictures.
Were you in a hurry?
I was in a hurry.
Sounds like it.
And it was a rush. We go there, and like the front desk had like pictures of the owner, my uncle, shaking hands with famous people that were there, and one picture was with him and Dave Chappelle.
Whoa!
Like, that's amazing.
I gotta get this Curry
I think
in a Hurry
you need
picture.
To go. You need to go there and just shake his hand.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Wow. No, I've never been there.
You gotta go.
I'd never heard of it before. Is it like a franchise?
No, it's just like a one restaurant, mom and pop shop that my uncle owns. Just be like, just say you know Sabine.
Okay.
Hell no. The only brown person in yeah. Utah. And so, I do have a question. What was the food like that you grew up eating?
Unremarkable.
Yeah.
Mm. There's not, I don't know. I think.
Meatloaf.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was like
a lot of casseroles.
There was meatloaf, there was casserole. It's a lot of like, yeah, just sort of traditionally sort of white food, not too, it's very kind of cultureless, and somewhat like an offshoot of Midwestern food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So now when people are like, I get so, excited over like any type of food that's different, and I know basically nothing about cooking because I just didn't have any like really cool food, you know, unless you're gonna get like Mexican food or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all just regular, standard, straight white mayo.
Unseasoned
food.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of salt,
salad.
Pepper.
A lot of mayo.
Yeah, yeah, and it's
this
just,
seems cruel to me. I'm sorry, the orphanage should have been like, I'm sorry, who, what, where are you from? Like, they should have.
Yeah,
I mean, no offense. I'm sure your parents are angels, but
Yeah, I mean, look, they had their everybody's parents have their issues and their, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, they should have at least been like, here's some recipes. You know, if you're gonna adopt a black child, they should come with recipes.
Yeah.
I believe that.
You should come with a handbook.
Yeah.
Like, how to, yeah, yeah.
How raise to, your black
How
baby.
To raise your black, with here's some rap.
Wait,
music.
I should write that.
You should
write it. Oh my God. Skylar, write it.
That's, wow, that would be a good book.
I think it would
do
be.
It. Do
yeah.
it.
And I know nothing about parenting, but then I'll just
but
say
you know, it's even better.
It doesn't matter. No one that writes those books does, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. These people.
It's like, well, Ben, you know, Ben Katzner. He's a
I love Ben.
He's a
oh, you got a
great comic. Black guy adopted by white people, and he talks about in his stand-up that they were poor, and he's like, I'm sorry, if you have to take a bus to an orphanage, then you shouldn't be allowed to adopt.
Yeah.
And it's like, fun. And that's what I feel like with like, I'm sorry, if you're not gonna like put some flavor and seasoning into your cooking, like you shouldn't be allowed to adopt. Like you need to pass a test, some sort of 100%. Cultural test before you can adopt a black
right,
baby.
It's like a citizenship test.
Yeah exactly. It's mm-hmm. like, who is Tupac?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, how do you make really good, I don't know, like hot chicken? What's your cornbread recipe? Even my mom makes cornbread. I grew up in Alabama, though. She learned from her like southern neighbor. Yeah.
My parents overcompensated by just like it was no culture stuff. It was all just like black history stuff. So I just knew so much black history.
Okay,
they did try.
They really tried. My mom, I found this out recently. She hosted a podcast about civil rights
in Utah.
Or not a podcast. It was a radio show. It was
okay,
like 1997.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
It was on AM radio. But I just forgot what the radio was.
Yeah, like, what is a radio?
A radio.
Yeah,
and for a while. So, like, they were involved, and they did try. But then there was also just, like, I was 20 before I knew what BET was, you know?
Wow. You missed out on the cool pop culture stuff.
And now you're making up for it.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
You're absolutely cool as fuck. Look at that chain.
I know. Now
that.
I wear
chains. Look at that bad posture.
Now look at me.
Bad posture and chain.
Skylar's
so
proud
cool.
of his bad posture.
Oh, well, the bad posture is...
He's like, look at me. Oh, I'm so cool.
Yeah, well, that's just depression. That's different.
This is the weight of the world on your shoulders. I get it. So I know we talked a little bit about astrology.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And we have a little dating segment called 50 Shades of Brown. How is that related to astrology? I don't know.
We don't know.
Dating people, knowing their like...
There's a connection.
Astrological background. Whew. So we have listeners write in some dating questions, and you get to answer them for us.
Nice.
Are you dating anyone now?
Yes.
Let's
call her in. And it's a long-term relationship kind of a thing?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so here are the questions that we have. Sabine, do you want to... I kind of like... This one's kind of funny.
Me too.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm like, I don't know. It's vague. It's vague. Answer how you please.
Someone... Yeah.
What is your definition
in quotes,
being in a relationship?
A lot of quotes here. What is your in quotes definition of in quotes being in a relationship?
So wait, okay. What is yours in quotes?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like, oh, your personal identity is not actually.
What's your personal definition?
First of all.
Of being in a relationship.
Yeah, first of all, what is an I philosophically?
Right.
What if is that, that thing were to have a consciousness, what would
does
that
it make
thing's
a sound?
Definition be?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Quotes.
definition of being in a relationship is in a relationship. Oh no,
that's a tough question.
It's a tough question because then I just started overthinking all the semantics of it because it's like
right
when you're friends with somebody, is that you know in a relationship?
No, but I think we're gonna say romantic,
yeah. Like a committed romantic relationship.
Yeah, yeah. What is that? What is that?
For you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, it is when two people or more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but there you're such, it's okay. You can talk.
No, no, I know.
Oh, okay.
So he's saying, are you in a poly or more
relationship?
Yeah, sure. Open. Sure. Like, oh,
okay.
Yes.
What? I feel like you're lying now.
No, I'm not lying.
You're
I'm just
saying sure.
No, I'm saying like because the definitions are hard because then you put like, for example, if you put poly on it, then yeah. People will be like
the labeling.
You're if you're poly, you got to be acting
okay,
this way, and you're
non-monogamous.
Yeah.
Monogamish.
Yeah. Non-traditional, or I'm just like I'm a cheater. But
yeah.
No.
Yeah. The other person doesn't know that they're in an open relationship, but
no,
you're a cheater.
But I think of it as, yeah, when people commit to being with each other and supporting each other and mm-hmm. growing with each other and have romantic feelings and attraction to each other. And I think that is all that at its core defines it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to have any of these traditional things unless you want it to. I don't think it needs to be defined by that. So I would just say that it is making a conscious commitment.
I like
to something.
That.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
I kind of think of it as, okay, for me, and this could change.
Yeah, what is it for you?
For me, in quotes, just kind of being on the same page with the parameters of what that relationship looks like.
Yeah.
So it's going to be different maybe for each person. Like for me, I'm a monogamous relationship. Oh, yes, that's the word, monogamous relationship, but I know, like, I also don't like to say, like, put a label on myself and be like, I'm only monogamous. Because what if, like, down the line, you and that person decide, hey, maybe we should open things up or maybe whatever. You just don't know. But I think as long as people are on the same page, that's what a relationship is. Because you get to define it however you want, which I guess is what, to the point of this person with the overuse of quotations. But it really, there is no one way, especially nowadays. Like, you can be whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But I can see how it's kind of limiting to have to choose, like, are you this? Or even with sexuality, are you pan?
Yeah.
Are you poly? Are you blah? Like, sometimes you just want to, like, you just are what you are. And you and those parameters may change. I think of it almost like the rules of a game, but that you both decide on how to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's hard to answer that question, because then they're like, well, what is it at its, you know, at its base?
I mean, for me,
it's
I
just
prefer,
so different for every person.
I like being in a monogamous, but I don't like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, it's a monogamous thing, but it's like a committed monogamous thing, like to which we decide rules together of like, hey, we're going to do this, but not this. Or like, it just being with someone who agrees with all the things that I want to do. And this is a hard question.
Being open, honest. I think that's the most important thing is just having like honesty and just being really transparent about whatever it is that
I think just whoever will watch all the movies I want to watch and pay attention to all of them.
Yes.
Anybody who is that is in a relationship with me.
Skyler,
and that's it.
What are the movies you want to watch?
Jordan Peele's Us. Apocalypse Now. I'm just naming movies.
Amazing.
The new Buzz Lightyear. I don't know.
Just anything. You just need a movie buddy.
Yeah. And if it's that, then I consider us in a relationship. And if they watch a movie with anybody else, I'm mad.
Yeah. You're like, we're not in a
relationship.
You're like,
you can fuck whoever
anymore.
You want, but if you watch Buzz Lightyear
with
somebody
else. You think
it's
okay to watch Jurassic World without me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, ride the dinosaurs.
It's over.
Bye-bye.
It's over. So you're in a long-distance relationship?
No.
Oh, what? You said
I said long-term.
Oh, sorry. I heard distance.
Yeah.
He's there. Yeah, you're in Chicago.
Long-term. You're so young. How long? What's long-term? What's, quote, long?
Years is long-term.
That's long-term. That's cool. How'd you meet?
Tinder.
Ooh, romantic.
Very romantic.
Well, one of my friends met on Tinder, and she got married to a guy from someone she met there. So
it happens.
It happens.
It's
changed.
Hellscape.
Yeah. But. Wait, is that something you see in your future? Like, could you see
hellscape?
Your relationship turning into a hellscape?
No. I would hope not.
Into a marriage.
Sorry. What were you? Sorry.
It's very funny.
Is marriage, because, you know, you're kind of in a non-traditional relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're, do you feel like?
I don't really think about that, like, at all. Like, a friend asked me this exact question yesterday. Like, I don't think about it at all, like, ever. Yeah, I think anytime I project anything into the future, I get anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, because I'm happy in the relationship, I think it would be insane for me to be like, no, that's not something that I would do or be against it. But, yeah, I don't really think about it. I think I have philosophical, whatever, rhetorical problems with the concept of marriage like anybody can have.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's something that a lot of times someone can just use as a justification because they're scared. So I won't go into those.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I just don't really think about it. I'm like, I'm 26. Is that even something that's going to be? Talk to me in 5 years, and then I'll think about which relationships or where I'm at and when that leads to marriage. I just don't think about it.
You're a young kid.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about it.
You're still a baby.
He's a little baby.
He's a wee bit.
Just say that as your mother, I just wanted to know.
I will say most of the people I grew up with are already married by now.
Everyone,
or on their second marriage.
100%. Everyone I grew up with in Chicago, like, literally I was like, oh, I'm like the Muslim one. And like I always thought I would be married at like 24, 25. But it's like literally all my white friends from my school
are married with babies. In Alabama and in Palestine. All my Arab and American friends are all married with
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we live in, like, even Chicago, New York. Like, it's if you're in a metropolitan city, it's different. Like, the expectation is different. People are single longer. And also, I think having so many more options, people are like, oh, I'm not going to settle down.
Oh,
like,
for
I can find so many people.
I also think doing comedy makes it different, too. I think your life and priorities are different.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Not, like, trying to commit to, you know, putting together a specific type of life because you're like, I'm trying to build a specific type of career.
For sure. It's almost like I just need something that's like easy that can go alongside of the career.
Yeah.
You know, like that can accommodate this kind of a life that I already have.
You need a dog. That's what you need.
You need a dog.
You don't need a boyfriend. You need a dog.
You guys, you're so right.
Or another cat. Is your assuming girlfriend, in the field of entertainment?
Nope.
That's good.
Yeah. I
think it's easier, and I will say this, it really is harder to date like a male comedian than it is like dating a woman.
A female comic?
Yeah. I think it's just harder on women because, like, in my experience and many of my friends' experiences, y'all are already like non-committal, and then add the comedy piece and that lifestyle, then it's like really hard to be on the same page.
Right. Well, there's also, I think, what do I want to say? Neuroses or certain behavioral patterns that comedians exhibit as far as like just not taking care of our physical health or mental health or not even having together an adult lifestyle or mindset about things. So you, for example, with a male comedian, you try to engage with them emotionally and they just can't do it. And because it's the same thing that makes them good at doing bits. So it's like grating for anybody to try to be in a relationship like that.
Yeah.
So I understand why it's very tricky. And then there's also the whole career hierarchy thing. It's a complex, tricky thing.
It can get competitive very quickly. Like, I felt that when I dated comics. And it's just like, oh, you're on that show. And it's just like, you don't want that kind of weirdness in a relationship.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be with someone who's just, you know, who can tell their ego to chill.
Yeah.
Even hooking up with comics, you're like, I think this is going to be, what if this shouldn't have any complications, right? And then it's like,
and then it does.
Yeah, it actually did. Like, but I thought it wasn't.
For sure.
That was the plan, right?
This was supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and then it immediately became unfun.
I think the most complicated has been with, like, other comics. Because they'll be like, no, it's chill, it's fine, and then it's not. Because they bring in their own neuroses and, like you said, and a lot of narcissism in our field, especially with men.
Yeah.
I hate y'all, okay? That's what I'm saying.
Get it? It's completely fair. It's completely fair. It's also something about, like, and I don't. I get this. It's just like somebody you need to not have to see all the time if you break up. Like traditionally, you date somebody, you break up, and you don't have to see them. But if you're like a comedian in comedy and you're working and they're working and you're at the same level,
essentially in the same city,
then you're just going to keep seeing them. It's like high school. You don't, it's not great.
Yeah, and you want to be comfortable in your space, like in your world. And it takes a long time. Like, I feel like I dated a comic and it took me like a couple of years to get comfortable, like being in the same spaces as him. And now I'm good, but I'm like, oh, it was hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm curious, is your girlfriend white or black?
No, God. Well, first of all, black.
There's no other option, Skylar.
I love that there were two options.
There's only two options.
You know why?
Because like you were raised by, I feel like you can go either way. Overcompensate for the fact that you were brought up by white people.
Which is what I do.
Or be so ingrained in it that you can, like, you're like... You know,
only
like
see
that.
White people.
Yeah, only see white people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I. Yeah.
No, I.
And there are only two types of people in the world.
Yeah, yeah. It was
we're nobody.
It was a completely fair question. I'm actually like, it's funny that you bring this up because this is like sort of what I'm like going through right now, like emotionally and philosophically about like, because I remember when I grew up, my mom like completely well intentioned. One time, I think sort of out of nowhere, was like, you know, it's fine if you want to marry a white woman. And, like, I was, like, a kid, so I never knew that wasn't fine. I like,
why wouldn't it be?
I didn't know. Well, because she was coming from a place of Mormons historically had problems with, like, interracial marriages and stuff.
Okay.
And so did, like, the country. And so she was operating from this place of, like, there's so much racism and there's so much anti-interracial. So she would just like, hey, like, it's okay. It's not a bad thing if this happens. But I didn't have any of that context. And then there's also that whole thing of like white people don't understand about interracial dating, that it is not purely just a good thing. Like there are counterbalance there and there are hurdles and
there's a struggle with it
and they don't know anything about the perspective of women of color, so that was like a thing where I just, you know, as a lot of men in America of any race do, like idealized white women and then realized that was bad and then felt bad about it and then no, she is not. I don't know if I could, like, at least me talking right now, I don't know if I could be in, like, a relationship with a white person, really, because all of my more, like, serious emotional dating things with white people, even, like, from casual to less casual, have usually left me feeling pretty bad about myself. And it, I think there are just all these other dynamics to where like white women have a sort of like sexual entitlement because they've been placed on this pedestal.
Just sexual entitlement?
No, I mean, no, you're right. No, you're right. Like it's an across the board type of entitlement. But
it plays out sexually as
well. It plays out sexually, especially like with the context of black men, because they just assume that they're desired by black men. So, like, I can't tell you, this is not something that's talked about a lot, but quite a few times you'll be just like drinking and hanging out with like a group of black men, and a white woman will just like come up and like try to interrupt you and try to just be like, just kind of have this like vibe of like, oh, don't you want to have sex with me? And, you'll just be like,
I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, like, I'm just like hanging out. I remember after a show I did, was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. We went to this bar and I was like arguing with, I was just talking to a white woman about whatever. We were just like talking and we got in debates because she was trying to say something about, for example, let's just say like we're all the same and like, you know, something about race blindness, and we were getting into some debate.
Okay.
And then
she was saying you're all the same?
Yeah, or just like, okay. She was trying to make the justification that as somebody who didn't feel traditionally attractive in high school, she like faced a form of oppression, and so she sort of knew what oppression felt like. And I was like, no.
You do not.
Try to talk to like a trans woman of color or anybody disabled or blah, blah, blah. So I'm like making these arguments and we were just like talking.
She was like, I was a brunette in a school of all blondes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what white women think oppression is. Like, it's crazy. So I went to the bathroom and I come back, and then I was talking to a friend who had come in and like was sitting where I was sitting. So I was like standing up. And then the woman was just there. And then like while I'm talking to this friend, the woman just tries to pull me in and tries to kiss me. And I'm like,
what?
What is this?
The one that was trying to debate you?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Like thinking that like, oh yeah,
she
that whole time.
The debate was foreplay?
That was foreplay and it was flirting and I.
She's like message received. Yeah. Okay.
You want that, you don't want that.
And I'm like, yeah, this is sexual assault. What is the, what the hell?
Yeah. Imagine it was the other way around.
I know.
You tried to pull it. You would be in handcuffs. Yes.
I know. Yeah. It was like, what? And so there is that where I, yeah. All of that stuff, and that like it's also my own baggage and stuff, and mm-hmm. but I just do think, you know, and that's why it's a fair question. This is like, yeah, okay, we exist in this culture that does put white women on this pedestal.
Well, same with brown men. They love like with us too
in our culture, and like South Asian culture, like white people are like the most perfect species,
ideal of like beauty and desire and all of that.
100%
Like a brown man,
yeah, messes you up a lot. Like my sister is half white, and she's white passing, and like I love her husband, but I know he like was into her because she was like a white woman, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have a lot of colorism in all of our cultures. So, but
the lighter
it's like we
skin
all
you are, the better you are.
For sure.
And it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm trying. I've been working on this bit about why I think it should be okay for me to cheat on white women. And it's, you know, it's fun.
You're just doing the Lord's work.
I'm just doing the work. I just think, you know, oppression. It's reparations.
It's only fair.
It's liberation. It's, absolutely. You know, all these things. I'm not going to do the bit, but it's my favorite thing to say right now.
I love that.
Well, we've got one more segment that kind of leads into this. It's called Keeping Up with a Caucasian.
Nice. Wow. Great.
So this segment where we talk about things that white people do and whether we as people of color have also done these things.
Skylar's done all of them. He's
I think he's lived all of these experiences. So we've got different categories to choose from.
I want to ask him one specifically.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Kombucha, Skylar.
Kombucha. I like it.
See, he's white.
Okay, I do too.
What?
Kombucha's fine. You know what? Yeah, no, wait, hold on.
I was so against it at first.
Oh my goodness.
You know what? I guarantee, and this is just something I assume, I guarantee if we look up the origins of kombucha, it doesn't come from white people.
Probably.
Guarantee it.
But neither does yoga, and if you said you do yoga, I'd be like, you're being white right now.
Okay.
But yoga is so good for you.
I know it is.
See?
Fine. And I do it too. Okay, so the next one. Let's give you options. Food or beverage, pop culture, activities, style, clothes, phrases or sayings or miscellaneous.
Ooh, I gotta go with pop culture.
Pop culture. That's funny. Well, we've got Conan on here, but you've already written for it.
Wow. Okay.
So you are peak.
Yes.
Yeah. I was the second black writer they ever hired.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
I mean, it's cool for me, but it also does not sound great on the institution of the show, Conan.
Yes.
But no hate. Best job in the world. Please hire me again.
Hire him again. And me too. And Ithier.
I would say, do you watch true crime?
No.
I do.
I do too.
I'm losing these rounds.
I'm losing too.
I know people equate it with like a white woman watching thing, but I think women just really like to watch true crime. Although I think my brother likes to watch true crime too, but it's, I don't know what it is. You've never seen any true crime, even Making a Murderer?
Don't really like it. I think that. I mean, I have, like, philosophical, you know, whatever problems with true crime, because I'm like, yeah, people are dead. And now everybody's like, oh, I love this murder.
But let's find out how.
How did it happen? What happened to them? But
like, so, no. And then also, I think that, I don't know this for a fact, but I think that people who have been around, like, cultures and whatever, who, like, experience crime, don't want to watch true crime. I think it's just such a white thing because people feel so safe. And they're like, oh.
That's true.
Could you imagine if a crime happened? Like,
it's so out there that it's like, yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up in a war zone. So for me, like, serial killing is not a thing in, like, Pakistan or Palestine or the middle, you know, it's like, it's that's not. So for us, it is like a different kind of danger.
Yeah.
That for me is like far removed. And I'm just like, it's more, for me, I'm really interested in the psychological motivation behind it more than anything. Not just like, it does feel very like exploitive to like watch people like just like see how they died and all and like forgetting about that. Like this is a human life, but it is so fascinating to me to understand the psychological like motivations behind or the reason. I'm like, what were you fucking thinking? And then you just realize, oh, they're just a serial killer or whatever.
Crazy.
Or I don't know, but it is, it's entertaining.
That's why I would watch it too. Yeah, no, for sure. Psychologically, I'd be very interested, but then I'd get too scared. So then I would stop watching them.
It's
like,
something.
Because there was like one where it was a murder in the park. And I was like, if I continue to watch these, I'm going to think I'm unsafe in all of these places. And
And there are studies that show that it really does make you more paranoid. And that's when I stopped listening to as much
so
true crime.
So now I barely watch any.
Yeah. Just the good ones.
I just don't think it's like, I don't think it's like helpful, like psychologically for you. And then I also just get bored. Like, I'm like, they just kill. People kill. I'm not into, oh, why did he kill? Because he wanted to kill. I don't know. Like,
you don't know the dynamics.
I know. And I grew up around where Ted Bundy did like a lot of his killings.
Oh, shit.
And then I'm still like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I know. And people are like, let's go to the Ted Bundy house where he killed some people. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why would we go there? Why is it something that I would want to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it. I'm into it.
My mom used to watch a bunch of those, like on the ID channel, and they would always be like,
and the Dateline.
It's a woman thing. It is a woman thing.
Oh, it's like so marketed towards women. It's like, my husband was a murderer. Yeah. My BFF was murdered. It's like never like,
oh my God, remember you did the murdered sketch? That's that we did.
Yeah, that was one. And that was women.
Oh, so maybe it seeped into
so
you.
Funny. Okay, yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Hello. So no true. So you pass.
You passed.
I did. Okay, good. I passed.
You did.
That's great.
Good.
Except that you wrote for Conan, so.
Well,
but that's
different.
It's
true.
It's different.
It's comedy. Comedy, I'll take light stuff.
Because it's all, what else would you, it's hard to avoid. You can't avoid.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's mainstream.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I will say I didn't watch, I'm not interested in true crime psychologically, but I did watch that Michael Jordan doc that I can't stop talking about. And the psychology of that is fascinating to me.
Really? Oh, I got to watch
that. I watched that, but I love Kamau Bell's When You Talk About Cosby. Like, I know it's like, I mean, it's a crime. I don't know. It's not serial killing, but it's so fascinating. It's so fucking fascinating.
See, but that's what I like, where it's like, it's not a crime and it's not like, quote unquote dark, but
I mean, it's a crime, it's not killing.
No, I mean, sorry, the Cosby thing. I'm like, I was another crime. I meant the Michael Jordan thing.
So, what did he do?
This is the first time I find out about Cosby. What?
What did he do?
Oh my God,
the Jell-O guy?
Oh no, his movies weren't that good later? What happened?
Did he get boring?
Oh God, no, the Jordan thing is interesting to me because it's. Like, it's just basketball, but then you watch the psychology of this guy that's like, I need to win, and then he'll just, like, invent a reason to win, and you'll see him lose one day, and then the next day he'll be like, he finds it inside himself to keep pushing and, like, going. And, like, that psychology is much more interesting to me. And, like, he also, you know, there's the darkness of, like, he would be really mean to his teammates to motivate them to do better.
Oh.
But then, like, he was the best and got all these trophies. And that, to me, is, like, those are like his murders.
Right.
And it feels better to watch because you're like, nobody's dead except his dad.
No one's
who did get murdered.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
really?
Don't spoil it.
Wow.
Well, I gotta watch it.
I gotta watch it. Well, now there's no point. No. But I will watch that.
Yeah, I want to watch that. And I want to watch the J-Lo doc.
What's the J-Lo doc? What's she do?
I think it's just
who
about...
Who did she kill?
Yeah.
So she killed Ben Affleck. Happened today.
Oh, no. And they already have a doc about it?
Oh, of course.
They do.
Also the documentary industry is crazy because, like, remember Astroworld and then it happened? The people died and then, like, the next day there was a... The Travis Scott's Astroworld concert, people like mobbed the stage some people died, you know? I think, like, there was a big tragedy because there wasn't enough space or... I don't remember the details. But there were several people who died. And like a couple, it felt like just a week later, there was a documentary out about it on Hulu. It's like, those bodies aren't even in the ground yet.
That's too soon.
Yeah.
That is way too soon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Documentaries are weird. They're so weird. That's why I don't trust them. Be a book.
Yeah.
You're a movie.
I won't watch
pretending it though.
Not
to
I mean,
be
I won't read it.
You're not
if it's
printed.
A
I'm not yeah, interested.
No, I'm too lazy. That's why I like documentaries. Yeah. Well, is there anything of yours that you want to plug? Any docuseries? Are we going to find you on one of the Mormon docuseries?
I've been thinking of making, I'm going to run this by you. It's not a plug, but
yes.
I've been thinking of making at least a doc or some kind of thing about like me resigning from Mormonism. Like, because I want to write a letter and send it in and do all that stuff.
I want a one-man show of you.
Yes.
That would be fun.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have a doc.
I like it.
That might be a good idea.
I like that.
My one plug is I did make an album. It's called Saltwater.
Yeah.
It's comedy and music.
I still have to check it out. I've seen it posted everywhere. I'm awful, and I'm going to watch it. Everyone should watch
just
that.
Just lie and say you watch.
I watched it, and it was great. So good,
you
Skylar.
Can't watch it because it's not visual. It's only audio.
Okay,
but
so it's
that,
audio.
That was a bad lie.
I read it.
I read
your comedy album.
I read your album.
Yeah.
I read the cover. Okay, Saltwater and...
It's on Spotify and also on all streaming services.
Hell yeah.
Amazing.
And that's it.
Instagram, any... socials, are you on that?
Instagram, Skylar_Higley. Twitter, I think it's just Skylar Higley.
Clearly very active on that.
Are you still doing, are you still like have like Problemagic then? And you're still doing sketches under that?
Yeah, every time we, when we put something together, we shoot it and put it up. So
love it.
That too, Problemagic on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We nice. Have good sketches. Yeah, SkylarHigley.com.
Thank you. That's
the
awesome.
Onion.com.
Oh, yeah.
I just plug
everything.
Just all the dot coms. Just go to dot com.
www.google.com.
Yahoo. Ask
Check
Jeeves.
Out AOL.com.
It's all on
Bing.
There. Thank you, guys. Bing. Yeah. Yeah. Bing is a good one. MySpace. You could find us at No Fly List Pod on Instagram, Twitter. You could follow me at Athir Yacoub.
And you can follow me at Sabine Comedy.
And thank you, Canal Street Radio, for having us.
Yeah. Thanks, Canal Street Radio.
Thank you. Thanks, Skylar.
Bye.
Thanks.